You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. We thank the Lord for you that have come back out tonight. We didn't lose too many. Since this morning, I have a tendency to run people off. They don't hang around long, but we thank you for coming back. Glad many of you preachers have gotten in for the meeting. That's a blessing. I want to continue where we left off this morning, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. We're looking at one of the paramount characteristics of Christ in the Bible. Probably more mentioned about this part of his body than any other part. And we speak of his face, his face. I was drawn to this thought with a little phrase in the song, face to face, what shall it be? What shall it be? Do not know what day and hour we shall face up with him. Of course, if I'm going to have to face up with him, I've got more days behind me than I've got in front of me, so I know it won't be long. I want to know what I'm going to be faced with. And so in these days, we're seeing his face before we see his face. This morning we looked in Corinthians at the revealed face of Christ. I believe with all my heart, you don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. You can be wrong if you like. I believe that salvation is not a decision. I believe salvation is a revelation. God must reveal himself to you. Amen. Paul made that clear, that he'd stamp his image upon you. Paul said, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness in his heart. His believing didn't cause the shining. The shining caused the believing. And it must be true. Salvation is a revelation. Tonight I want to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9, and look at the resolved face of Christ. He says in verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face. They went and entered into the village of Samaria to make ready for him. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Resolved face. This little word set here, it's a similar word that the Messianic Psalm says, my heart is fixed on thee, O God. My heart is fixed. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God bid I stick my nose in your business. Would you say you've got a fixed heart tonight on God? Have a fixed heart tonight, it would certainly not be talking about this thing that's thumping inside of you. Yeah, Lord don't want that. He ain't got a room full of hearts. Most of us need open heart surgery right now, don't know it. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so I've got to fix all my thoughts on him. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So I've got to fix all of my feelings on him. He says, as a man purposeth in his heart, so I've got to fix all my doings on him. Jesus, you're well aware tonight that he was omniscient. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's planning the whole thing out. He knows exactly what Jerusalem holds for him. But he has fixed all his thoughts. He's fixed all his feelings. He's fixed all of his doings on the Lord. Long before your hard times come, you better have your heart fixed on him. I notice here in Luke chapter number 9 that he had his heart fixed, had his face set, though he knew full well that the road held grief for him. It was the grief of rejection
says in verse 53, and they did not receive him. How come? No, why would we not receive Jesus? He got his heart fixed. I'm going to tell you something. Do not think for a moment tonight, if you fix your heart on God, that the world is going to applaud you. Woo-hoo, wait a minute, that's good. Oh, I'm glad y'all did that. Oh, no, all hell fixing to break out. You fix all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your doings. The grief of reception. There'll be no pat on the back. Listen, they're patting you on the back, clear a spot to put a knife. Listen to me tonight. I noticed there was the grief of reversal. In Mark 11, when he came into town, man, they're waving palm branches. Woo, here come the king. Hosanna to the king. A few days later, Luke 15, nail that Jew's hide to a cross. He knew that was coming. And he had his heart fixed, his face fixed. I was thinking about the grief, not only of reception and the grief of reversal, but the grief of rejection. Mark 14, it says that all forsook him. All of his friends had gone. You got any friends? You ought to take you a lap around here tonight. He didn't have none. But he had that face set. Not only was there the rejection of friends, but there was the rejection of family. John 7, it says that his brethren did not believe in him. James and Jude, even after he has started his ministry, neither one of them was saved yet. They did not believe anything about him. Wow. His mama, some of the family come out there one day and said, we come to get him. He's beside himself. That's his mama speaking. That's the Virgin Mary speaking. He knew all of that was coming. Yet he's got his face set. Even his followers, all of his followers forsook him. How in this world did he know all of that was coming, yet his heart is fixed? I tell you tonight, long before all of that comes, there is grief coming for you. Don't think he's left you out. He's got some headed your way. You better make sure your heart is fixed long before it gets here. You got the Bible there tonight, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. I notice not only did he know you, he's omniscient, he knows it all, he planned it all. How in this world could he set his face when he knew everybody was going to leave him? I notice in Luke chapter number 2 that he knew that the road led to Gethsemane, place of a wine press. We was talking this morning about his face being imprinted upon you, and how does he get it from the inside out? He does it by placing pressure on the outside. I said this morning, he'll put the squeeze on you. Well, here in Gethsemane, God the Father gonna put the squeeze on his son. Road led to Gethsemane. He knew this was coming. Yet, he's got his heart fixed. I notice in verse number 41 of this text, there is the obstacle of Gethsemane. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, I'll be willing, this cup from me. I wonder if this is the beginning of him taking upon himself my sin, This is the beginning of Satan's oppression. He knows it's coming. He knows that cup holds the bitterness, the vileness of all that I have done and shall ever do. I love it when the old servant owed the king 10,000 talents. A talent in Eastern religion was amount of 20 years' wages. He owed the king 200,000 years of wages. I don't know how you feel about that. That's a debt you'll never pay. And yet the king forgave him all. Oh, it is here that he is beginning to take my sin in preparation to give me his righteousness. He is taking my hell and giving me his heaven. He's taking my death and giving my life. He knew that was coming. And his heart is fixed. We're going to let a little COVID scare us. My heart is fixed. My thoughts, my feelings, my doings. How did he do that? How did he do that? I notice in this text, verse 40, verse 41, verse 44, verse 45, and verse 46, awful deep thing. You probably would have to have a doctor's degree in theology to get this. The Bible said he prayed. That's an interesting concept when everything's pressing in on you. What am I going to do? Pray. That's what he did. I hear tell it still works. It worked for him. It is the obstacle of Gethsemane. I notice there is the oppression of Gethsemane. He says in verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Blood is coming through his sweat veins. He knew that was coming. What would he do when Satan was pressing in on him so hard? He prayed. The oppression of Gethsemane. I noticed the overwhelmingness of Gethsemane. The Bible says in verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, he that was called gracious. It's just one of the disciples. He's taking care of this guy for 3 years. He has fed him. They've all slept together, lived together. One of the 12 went before them and drew near unto him. He knows exactly the very spot that his lips are going to touch the side of his face. He has already planned the entire thing out. I don't know about you, I'd have changed the plan right then and dropped him in hell right there with his clothes on. Not him. His heart is fixed. I asked you again tonight, how in this world? Because if I could find out how he did it, maybe I could do it. Maybe I could do it. He knew the road led to grief. It led to Gethsemane. You got the Bible there tonight, John's Gospel, chapter number 19. Not only did he know, he's all-knowing. He knows it all. His heart's fixed. His face is set. He knows that grief is coming. Gethsemane is coming. But he knows the road led to Golgotha. He knows it well. John 19:1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and what? Preacher, are you going to tell me tonight he knew that was coming? Yes, he planned the whole thing. Scourge him. They're going to rip his back completely off with a cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, save one. Scourge. What is he going to do? Got his heart set. He's got his face set. How did he do that? I notice in this text in chapter number 19, verse 23, not only did Golgotha hold for him a scourging, but it held for him shame. The Bible says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments. Did not know if you'd see that S or not. I thought I'd underline it for you. That's all his clothes. They're gone. I know the little old thing in the Louvre in England's got something laying across his private areas, but he is stark naked.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
In front of his own mama. You listening to me tonight? You know that was coming. You planned the whole thing. Well, what is he doing? My heart is fixed, oh Lord, my heart is fixed. All of my doings, all of my thinkings, all of my feelings. He knew that Golgotha held a sacrifice. Says in verse 16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. Oh, he is going to be a living sacrifice. How in this world, did he keep a fixed heart, set face for all of this? Because if I could find that out, I could do the same. I noticed tonight that the road led not only to Gethsemane, grief in Golgotha. Hey, your grief's coming. Your Gethsemane's coming. He's going to put the squeeze on you. Hey, your Golgotha's coming. He's going to demand that you die to your stinking self. It's coming. What you going to do? Are you going to keep a fixed face? I notice in John chapter number 19 that he knew now. He's all-knowing. You know that the road led to the grave. Wow. He had never done graveyard stuff. He's never done anything. Softly, I don't even know if you can get this maybe way over your head. All he's ever done is living stuff. He never done. You and I know all about dead. We've been to funerals and all that. He never done dead stuff. All he's ever done is living stuff. I notice there's a conflict of the grave. It says in verse number 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head, and here's an interesting statement. He gave up the ghost. A little word ghost, we get our word breath from it. He told his lungs they could quit breathing. You ever tried that? He knew that was coming. He knew the very moment when he was going to tell the lungs, that's it, quit, stop. He's got his face set. He knew the conflicts of the grave. I notice in chapter 19 and verse 38, he knew the coldness of the grave. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. He says, there came Nicodemus, they've got all of the spices, and they're going to put him in a borrowed tomb. He's going to lay there. Can you imagine the epitome of all life? Laying dead, dormant in a grave for 3 days, 3 nights. He knew it was coming. How in this world did he have his face set, his heart fixed? I notice also not only the conflicts of the grave, coldness of the grave, but the condescension of the grave. Ephesians chapter number 4 said he descended into the lower parts of the earth. He went clear to hell. He went as low as you could possibly go. He went down there and told them that they ain't never getting out. Wow. those in paradise, he took them back with him to the heavenly city. I love the hound out of that. He has got his heart fixed, his face set. How did he do that? The answer to your question tonight that I have asked several times is in John chapter number 17. He never had his eyes fixed on grief. He never had his eyes set on Gethsemane. Never had his eyes set on Golgotha. He never had his eyes set on the grave. But he kept his eyes constantly on glory. Oh, tonight he says in chapter number 17, if you've got the Bible there in front of you, in verse 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one." How did he fix his heart? He never fixed his heart on what was going on down here. He always kept his heart fixed on what was going on over there. How can I get through my Gethsemane tonight? How can I get through my grief? How can I get through my Golgotha? How can I get through my graveyard experiences? I must fix my heart constantly on glory. If you fix it on anything else, you're going down. Songwriter said, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are nobler, things that are higher, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me. Still, I will enter in. Amen. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee." Old Graham Scoggie, man who preached so many times at the Keswick Convention, he said, "God has never promised you smooth sailing, but He has always promised you a safe landing." I love that. I tell you what, if you've got your eyes on anything else this night except for glory, you are headed for one of the worst falls that you have ever had. Because grief's coming. Gethsemane's coming. The squeeze is coming. Golgotha, death to self, is coming. The graveyard experiences, they're coming. Don't focus on it. My heart is fixed on the graveyard. My heart is fixed on my loved ones that are already in heaven. I miss them so bad. Don't do it. Fix your eyes on what's going on up there, not on what's going on down here. I love what the old songwriter said. Glory land is not so far away, and we shall reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. Would you consider yourself tonight to have a fixed heart, set face, set on glory? We're standing, our heads are bowed while we're standing, eyes are closed. Orlis is going to come around, sing a little something for closing. Preacher, I'll be honest with you. My eyes of late has been fixed on all that is going on around me. And I need an eye adjustment. I need a heart adjustment tonight. I need to get fixed on what's going on over there, not what's going on down here. It worked for him. It'll work for you. Maybe you want to come reach out a place in this altar tonight and say, "Oh, Father, fix my heart on glory tonight. Not on what's going on around this world." While they're singing, altar's open. You're hearing lost tonight? Be a good night for a heart transplant. Lord speaking, you come.